Welcome into You're the Cure, right here, brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check us out on the web, veritasmedical.com. You're listening to You're the Cure, right here on AM 580 with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Integrative holistic medicine family practitioner. Of course, our number at the office, 1-855-6-VERITAS. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Wade. How are you?
And health coach Melody Wilkes with us on the show as well.
Hi, Melody.
Hey, happy
lovely
Mother's Day.
Glasses.
Yeah. Oh, those are nice.
I feel like I'm back in first grade.
Did you have a good Mother's Day? That's the main thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was fun.
Well, that's awesome. I was glad to participate in that. That was
yeah, I took a picture of you cleaning the kitchen.
Got a boy, Wade.
Loading dishes. Hey.
Step up to the plate.
Yeah,
literally.
Well, you know, speaking of Mother's Day, of course, we have a special guest on the show with us today. Moms Across America, Zen Honeycutt,
yes,
is with
sir.
Us today on the show. And so we want to welcome her into the program. Of course, along the way, if anybody out there would like to call in, you can text in as well, 806-745-5800, or call into the show, 745-5800, along the way. So...
Well,
let me
introduce Zen to our listeners. Zen Honeycutt is the founder and director of Moms Across America, which is a nonprofit national coalition of unstoppable moms with the motto of empowered moms, healthy kids. Moms Across America has grown rapidly with over 400 leaders that have created 700 plus community events in all 50 states just in the first 3 years alone since its inception 3 years ago. Moms Across America empowers and amplifies the voice of moms locally and nationally to create healthy communities by raising awareness about GMOs and related pesticides in our food. Zen has three boys, and I believe Ben and Bodie and Bronson, which I thought was interesting because I'm Ben and we've got a kid named Bodie and we've got another kid coming. Maybe we ought to name
Bronson.
But Zen's three boys had allergies and autism symptoms, and they were which all greatly improved when they went GMO free and organic. She discovered that thousands of moms are seeing the same results, and Moms Across America is expanding to mothers across the world with co-creator Vandana Shiva. Zen has been featured on CNN, The Dr. Oz Show, Wall Street Journal, C-SPAN, and Moms Across America has been on Fox News, Reuters, ABC, and more. She's an international speaker, powerful leadership coach, and speaker and writer. She is currently working on a book called Unstoppable Love, Empowering Community Leaders to Be Global Game Changers. So we're real excited to have a fellow parent and mom, Zen Honeycutt. Welcome, Zen, to our show. Thanks for being with us.
Well, hi, Dr. Edwards. Hi, everyone. I'm just thrilled to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I want to start with, a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, we had Dr. Andy Wakefield on. And one thing I found curious with his story originally back in 98, I believe it was moms who came to him. Three moms in a row with a consistent story of gut symptoms related to their autism symptoms, related to the timing of the MMR, and the moms just noticed this, and so he was listening to the moms, and that caused him to ask more questions and get curious and do what doctors are supposed to do by being a detective. Well, the same thing in my practice. It was moms who came to me that had noticed some things in their kids. Now, doctors are driven by scientific studies, evidence-based medicine, and we have to see that something's published in a journal, and then the higher medical associations across the country kind of put out these protocols, and we kind of follow those. But ultimately, it's really the mom who has so much information, and again, being a detective, information's key to putting the pieces of this puzzle together. And the puzzle we're trying to put together right now is we have sick kids. If you don't have kids, listeners, I'm sure you know kids or have grandkids, 50%, one out of two kids have some sort of chronic disease. I mean, we're going to talk today a lot about allergies and asthma and eczema and autism and ADHD and food sensitivities and all this stuff, but it's 50% obesity. I mean, we've got sick kids. These are things that, I mean, when I was a kid, even in, I'm 42, 43 years old, I don't remember seeing any of these. So we have a major problem going on. We can't blame it on genetics because it's just been the past 10 to 20 years we've seen this explosion. So obviously that means if it's not from internal, if it's not genetic, it's environmental. It's, you know, nurture versus nature. This is a nurture thing. This is an environmental thing, and we got to look at it. And it's the moms who are mostly in tune with their kids. Not that dads aren't or can't be, but a lot of times dads are a little bit checked out. I don't endorse that at all. I'm all for dads being involved. Maybe they're busy at work or busy whatever, but moms are in tune with the kiddos, so listening to moms is a big deal. So I just kind of wanted to preface it with that. That's why I'm so interested in this topic and what we're going to do today, and Zen in particular being a mom. No, she's not a doctor. She's not a scientist. We've talked to the scientists. We talked to Don Huber. He's the glyphosate expert. We've talked to Stephanie Seneff. So we've talked to the science guys, but now we're going to flip it today and talk to a mom. So Zen, I'm going to let you kind of take it away. I want you to share with the listeners how you went from, I don't even want to say just a mom. Moms do, I mean, I've got five kids. I know what my our kids' mama does, and she is busy doing lots of things all day long, and I don't even know if you had anything outside the home professionally. But tell us how you got into this, being kind of leader of the movement of moms across America. What led up to that?
Well, I appreciate so much that you prefaced this with saying that it's so important for doctors to work in partnership with moms. A lot of moms out there experiencing that their doctors just says, no, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with food, or, you know, that vaccine didn't have anything to do with your child's, you know, health issues and things like that. And a lot of doctors are not willing to listen to moms, and that really is a lost opportunity. So I so much appreciate that you're acknowledging that, and we are very excited to find that more and more doctors are listening to moms and working it together. So that's wonderful. And how I got started was, just like you said, being a detective for my kid and just watching him. It happened to be, it kind of all started on Thanksgiving dinner when we brought my children to Nana's house, and he was eating, and we're all enjoying ourselves with about 20 different people, and my son looked at me, and he was all of a sudden looked very sick, and I thought, oh no, I just started the cranberry sauce, and I really didn't want him to be sick, so I just said, sweetie, why don't you go, you don't look good, why don't you go lay down in the back room, and I was just kind of hoping it would go away, you know, like we all do,
right.
But it did, and he screamed out, and my husband and I ran to him a few minutes later, and he was swollen and puffed up like a raspberry, and it was all over his body, his just like welts all over his body. And what we realized was somebody had put pecans in one of the stuffings. And we never, just didn't even occur to us to check the stuffing for nuts. So we happened to have an EpiPen because he had a mild reaction before that. So we were prepared with an EpiPen. We administered that, and it was horrible pulling it out. Blood spurred everywhere, and everybody was screaming, and it was just horrible. So we rushed to the hospital. We just got in a car and went. We didn't even think to wait for the ambulance. And in the car, his eyes started rolling back in his head, and I thought we were going to lose him. Mm. At the hospital, when he was hooked up to tubes, he was looking at me with this look in his eye like, Mommy, please do something. And I felt completely helpless because there was nothing I could do but pray. Now, thank God he lived that day, and he's with us, and he has a wonderful life. But many children are lost that way. Over 150 kids die every year just from a simple accident like that. And another part of the problem is that I continued to think for years that there was nothing I could do. I became resigned and doubtful that all we could do was to avoid nuts. And food became like a minefield for me. Going to other people's houses became a very stressful situation, because who knows if my son would, if I turned my back, if my son would pick up a cookie like he did a few years later, and eat a cookie that had some walnuts in it and end up, you know, vomiting or in the hospital. So it was a very stressful few years until he was about 8.5 or 9 years old, when he said, Mommy, I wish all my allergies would go away. And I thought in my head, that's never going to happen, you know. But what I said was, me too, buddy. And then I realized that I was being really resigned and doubtful. What if there was something else that we could do? You know, I knew of a woman who had a wheat allergy, and after a year of sort of purging it from her diet and letting her gut heal up, she was able to eat wheat now and then. Now, and that was just a mild, you know, intolerance, but she was able to tolerate a small amount now. And then I said to him, Ben, what if like a year from now you could have a piece of pizza or a small piece of cake at somebody's birthday party? Would you like to do that? And he said, yes. And I said, well, then would you be my partner in your health? Like, would you drink green drinks and go to alternative doctors with me and, you know, take supplements or whatever? And he said, yes. So we created partnership in his health. And I said, I promise you, you're going to get better. And that was difficult for me because I didn't know exactly how, but I just became determined, you know, really determined. And I also knew that I, if by putting myself on the line that way, that I would step it up. I would take actions because I had promised my son something that I normally wouldn't take. And he also had more faith in our partnership. So that was a great way to start. And we began learning about GMOs. We researched, you know, that's when we researched and found all kinds of information. And he began drinking the green smoothie drinks. And at the time, our doctor prescribed something called MSM by MRM, which helps the gut heal. He did probiotics and raw organic sauerkraut every day, and began to slowly heal his gut and the gut environment. Within 4 months, his allergic reaction was almost not perceptible to carrageenan. That was one of his allergens, carrageenan, which can cause stomach cancer, by the way. So very important to find out if that's an allergen for your child. And you need to do that by going to an alternative doctor. Most Western medical doctors don't test for that.
And so that's anyway, found in most months, foods. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it's in a lot of foods. It's even it was up until recently allowed in organic too. It's in most vegan and vegetarian foods. It's a seaweed food thickener that's in just about everything kids
what
like.
Was
it's
it
an
again?
Ice cream.
Carrageenan.
Oh,
carrageenan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so once we lessened that allergen, then we further deepened it by going organic. And I have another story about my son in that situation. But within about 2 years, his allergic reaction dropped from a 19 down to a 0.2.
On tree nuts or on different...
Tree nuts, to walnuts and tree nuts, yeah. So right. He no longer has a life-threatening allergy to nuts. In fact, he ate a vegan dessert made out of cashews when we were going cross-country, and he didn't have any reaction.
Wow.
I mean, that could have killed him in the past.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, we've just seen tremendous amount of healing. And so that was my, story of how I got into looking at food and how this all happened. It, he inspired me by doing a talk in his fourth grade class before I was even a speaker about this, before I even started Moms Across America, about food. And I thought, man, if he can do it, I can do it. So we started looking into creating a way in which we could reach more people.
So,
and I asked myself the question, how could I reach as many people as possible in the shortest amount of time? And first I thought of a march on Washington, raising awareness about GMOs because the labeling initiative was happening back in 2012. And then I thought, moms and strollers and kids, not likely to have many of them get to Washington. So then I thought of 4th of July parades in local towns because somebody else has arranged the event. The porta potties, the permits, the police are already done. All you have to do is grab some red, white, and blue and, slap it on you or your bike and join in the parade. And I figured out that one parade, three people deep, for 3 miles means reaching almost 40,000 people.
Wow.
So you can reach a lot of people in your hometown. And by the way, whatever issue you want, if fracking is your thing or aerial spraying for mosquitoes or, GMOs or food or health choice freedom, you can get in your 4th of July parade and raise awareness about that and take America back.
Right.
So that's how we started, and it became, hundreds of thousands of people seeing our posts every week on Facebook. Was back in 2013, our first parade. We had 179 groups of moms join in, and so we reached millions of people across the country, and it's just been growing ever since. It's been really fantastic.
That's awesome. I want to go back to, so you took Ben to a alternative type doctor, and basically they just recommend, number one, they tested for all these foods and then recommended a gut healing protocol, basically, and educated you on how GMO and glyphosate can impact gut health. Is that where that education or that?
No, I did that. I knew. I made that connection. My child's doctor at that time had no idea about GMOs and glyphosate, and it was the naturopathic doctor that I went to that found out about his carrageenan allergy. She didn't even really say that. She mentioned toxins, but she didn't even really go into GMOs. She just said there's a lot of kids with leaky gut right now, and this, MSM-type product will help line the gut, give your gut a chance to sort of, gain the bacteria back. But I'm the one that put together the GMOs and the glyphosate. The glyphosate even came later on. At first, I was just focused on the GMOs. But she did say that inflammation on the outside of the body is the body's signal. It's the body's way of telling you that there's inflammation going on in the gut.
Right.
And that was really important to know. A lot of people think the rash is the problem.
Yeah.
But the rash is actually a great thing. It's a way of communicating to you. If it wasn't for the rash, my son probably would have developed stomach cancer.
Yep.
You know, I wouldn't have known. So she did know about the gut, but she didn't really connect it so much to GMOs and glyphosate. I, over the years, have been sending her articles and videos about that.
Okay. Well, and for our listeners who maybe haven't heard some of our other shows, I just want to review. GMO stands for genetically modified organisms, which basically means they put genetic material into a plant, into the seed, so the plant will grow up to have certain genetic characteristics. In particular, these plants are grown to be resistant to Roundup is the primary genetic modification that goes on, and people around here in West Texas know Roundup Ready cotton. So the plant can grow, you can spray it with the Roundup. Glyphosate is the main ingredient in Roundup that's doing the job here. And so all the weeds are killed and the plant can continue to grow. So sugar beets are GMO, which pretty much all the sugar in America is made from sugar beets. Soy, I mentioned cotton. There's a lot of cottonseed oil in our food. You know, corn's different. That's a different genetic modification. The BT toxin is put into the corn. This is an actual pesticide genetic material. So the corn becomes a pesticide or produces its own pesticide. So you don't have to spray the corn. It's already making the pesticide. This BT toxin happens to punch holes in the gut of the insects. So basically their stomach explodes. Well, it also punches holes in our gut. And the insects that live in our gut, which, like we've talked about before, 10 to 1, the bugs outnumber us 10 to 1 in our gut. We have more bacterial cells in us than human cells. So that's just some of the background here on GMO. It's altered genetic material put into the seed so that it can be sprayed. And then glyphosate's the main ingredient in Roundup. So you'll hear about these two words as we continue our conversation here. So you organize the Moms Across America, and then a big part of what y'all do, not just gather and educate communities, city councils, Congress, whatnot, but you just educate moms, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We have on our website, momsacrossamerica.org, a materials page where you can get flyers, materials, all kinds of things, community data sheets about glyphosate that you can give to your homeowners association, your board of education, your city council. We've provided family-friendly looking flyers. They're not scary. They don't have skulls and crossbones on them, that are simple and clear with testimonials from moms, and also, point them in the direction of the scientific studies on our website. So we have a lot of materials. We often can give them out free when we get sponsorship. So if you post an event on our website, we know that you're serious, and then we can send you a free box of materials.
Okay.
So we'd love for people to check out all those materials that we make available on our website.
Cool. Well, I want to get into how you got the urine levels of glyphosate, that lab test developed, and the breast milk levels of glyphosate. But first, I want to go back real quick for our listeners to leaky gut. I mean, leaky gut's at the core of what we're going to talk about today, so I just want to explain real quick. Basically, if you can think of the intestinal tract as the inside of your intestine is still the outside world, if you think about it. Your mouth, your throat, your esophagus, down your stomach, your small intestine, your large intestine, and then your rectum and out to the toilet. It's like one long water hose. So the inside of that water hose is still the outside world. And that wall, the wall of the water hose, the wall of your intestine should be just so tightly sealed that nothing can leak through there, except properly digested food that's actually transported. It's like there's a butler at the door that opens the door for you and lets you in and then closes the door right behind you. So only appropriate, fully digested food particles, the vitamins, minerals, fatty acids, amino acids, these fully digested foods that can be transported across the cell membrane of your gut into the body, into your bloodstream, is how it should work. So these cells along the lining of the gut are tightly sealed, tightly touching. And what happens with glyphosate is those cells don't tightly touch anymore. In fact, they get blown wide open. These it's actually called a tight junction. That's the medical name for where one cell meets the other cell in your gut. That tight junction is blown wide open. So think of it now as a water hose with all the small little holes in it, so the water can kind of drip out all along the hose. You've got a leaky water hose. You've got a leaky gut. That's what we're talking about, this gut lining that isn't tightly sealed. So you've got microbes, you've got toxins, you've got undigested, not fully digested food particles coming across in waves, just leaking across your gut wall. Well, 80% of your immune system sits right behind your gut wall. That, I mean, God designed it that way, to have your immune system right there. So basically think about it like at the border. You've got all the border patrol agents right there, and they're screening everybody that's coming across. This one's good. This one's not good. This one's good. This one's not good. This one needs to stay out. Well, all those troops are right there getting bombarded with toxins and bugs, different candida and bacteria and pathogens and the food particles coming across, and it's hyper-stimulating the immune system. It's freaking the immune system out, all this stuff coming across inappropriately, and you start to develop these antibodies or these that cause the allergies or food sensitivities. So, I mean, I have patients come in with a food sensitivity test, and there's 30 different foods that they're reacting to. Well, that's incompatible with life. You can't just be allergic to food. They are, but you're not supposed to be. And so what that tells us is the gut's breaking down. That tight junction's not there anymore, and the immune system is getting hyperstimulated. And so that's what happened with Ben, Zen's son, is he had this leaky gut. So you'll hear about this term, leaky gut. We'll talk about that throughout the show. But that's what we're talking about. This nice, tight, sealed gut lining is no longer there. It's all leaky, so food particles are coming across. And the thing that does that, one of the primary things the science shows now, the research shows, this isn't just conjecture, it's the glyphosate. Glyphosate is what opens those tight junctions, in conjunction with wheat in particular. So Zen, talk about the wheat. I know you took, two of your boys were wheat sensitive, so they were eating gluten-free, but one wasn't, and you tested his urine glyphosate level. So tell us that whole story real quick.
Yeah, thank you so much. I can't tell you how relief it is, what a relief it is to hear a medical doctor speaking on this level with this awareness about what's going on. It's just we've been working for years on this, and I appreciate it so much. When my second son was about 8 and a half, and this was about a year after going GMO-free, we had started Moms Across America. We were eating what we thought was as clean as possible. You know, we were eating mostly GMO-free, not entirely organic, though, because, like you said, we had a son who wasn't gluten intolerant. We thought he was a bit quote-unquote healthier, so when we went out to restaurants, we allowed him to eat, the wrap on a burrito or the bun on a burger, even though we didn't eat out very much at all because we were aware of the food situation, but we would be lenient with him, and he would eat wheat. Well, he suddenly developed autism symptoms about 8 and a half shortly after Halloween, I believe it was, and he began to freak out. He was hitting people, screaming, yelling. His grades dropped from A's to D's. He was turning in work, you know, the majority of it not even done. And this was a formerly straight-A student, go-getter, competitive kid that, you know, was just wanted to do well. And all of a sudden, he didn't. His teacher called me and said, something is going on with him. And my son, my husband, of course, you know, as most husbands do, want to not be a big deal. So he said, it's probably just a phase. And my motherly instinct was, no, there is something going on with him. He also had very stinky urine. You know, you could smell it after he went. It was like there's something, you know, going on in his gut because his urine smells so badly. So I took him to what we were going to at a time was an autism doctor, and that was because I liked the spaced-out vaccine schedule. He would let us just get one vaccine at a time, and which I would really urge all your listeners to read the vaccine insert. And really, really reconsider the vaccine schedule. So anyway, another topic. But we took him to this autism doctor, and he said, I'm going to test him for his urine for fungus. And I said, why? And he said, because sometimes the pathogenic gut bacteria, like bad gut bacteria, can lead to, like fungus, can lead to inflammation of the brain, which leads to behavioral changes. And I thought, wow, that's what glyphosate does. Because we had just started to get glyphosate testing in a lab after about a year of bugging a farmer friend of mine who knew a lab owner who invested in glyphosate testing, we were going to be the first ones in America to be able to offer glyphosate testing, citizen-funded glyphosate testing for urine, tap water, and the first ones in the world to test for glyphosate in breast milk. And so it was just at that time when I was going to my doctor that we had just, I think we had just sent in his tests to find out whether or not he had glyphosate in his urine. So I told his doctor about glyphosate, how it destroys the beneficial gut bacteria. And when that happens, the pathogenic gut bacteria in the gut, such as bad bacteria and fungus, can proliferate. And when bad bacteria proliferates, the bad bacteria have something on the outer walls, something called lipopolysaccharides. And my understanding from talking to doctors is that those lipopolysaccharides, their job is to tell the vagus nerve in the gut to signal the microglia cells in the brain to go on attack. You know, it's like, bad guys, hey, let's go on attack.
Yep.
But the problem is when the microglia cells in the brain go on attack in the brain, they create something called glutamate, and that is an excitotoxin that can excite the neuron brain endings, and eventually they die. Yeah. So neurons are suddenly not performing the way they used to, and this could explain why my son was suddenly saying that math was very hard when he was previously an A student, and he just didn't want to do his homework, and he was had erratic behavior, you know, that he never had before because those brain neurons were dying. So we got him tested for the fungus at the doctor. I told him all about glyphosate, and his levels were extremely high. In fungus, C. diff, bad bacteria, he had exactly what you just said, over 30 allergies. 20-something of them were food allergies. And he said, he had leaky gut and gut dysbiosis. And he said, if you take him back here 2 weeks from now, he'll show up to be allergic to everything you fed him that week.
Yeah.
So kids in America, he said the majority of kids in America have leaky gut now. And it's due to the toxins in the food, in the air, in the water. And he knew that well enough in order for us to have a very in-depth conversation about that. He said, the problem is that most kids in America don't have parents that are aware of this. Your kids are lucky that they have a mom that is testing for this. And so I've just been on a mission, you know, to let other moms know about this. You've got to test your child for fungus and bad bacteria. It's as easy as a urine test. You've got to find what's going on with them. Don't just think it's a phase. And you can help them. Because what happened was we got our glyphosate test back, and lo and behold, he had 8 times the level of glyphosate in his urine than was found anywhere in Europe. So at that time, it was the highest amount found ever in the world. Wow. In my son.
Wow.
And I was livid. And that was the moment when I said, well, this is it. We are eating 100% organic. You know, 100%. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If it's not organic, it's not going in my son. So we ate 100% organic. We cut out wheat because we realized, as you mentioned earlier, that my other two sons were gluten intolerant, but he was not. So he was eating wheat. And I realized, oh, glyphosate is sprayed on wheat as a drying agent. So they spray it on just before harvest to make it be harvestable faster, and it doesn't wash off. There's residues. Glyphosate just soaks right into the cells. So he was consuming glyphosate in wheat, and my other two sons were not, and I believe that's why they didn't present, you know, they weren't positive and they didn't have autism symptoms. So we stopped eating wheat, and we stopped eating all those canned meats and different kinds of meats that could have glyphosate residues in them, because the animals eat very high levels of glyphosate in their feed, like 400 parts per million, and it only takes 0.1 parts per billion to destroy gut bacteria. So we went 100% organic. Within 6 weeks, we retested him, and his glyphosate levels were no longer detectable, and his autism symptoms were gone and have never come back.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it was amazing. But we also did, we didn't just eliminate wheat and went organic. We also put in raw organic sauerkraut. He didn't eat any sugar for the entire holiday season from Thanksgiving till New Year's. And that took partnership, believe you me. And we also put in, I believe, colloidal silver to help the integrity of the gut. And he also had to take a fungus medication, a compound medication, to get rid of the fungus. If I had known to do it a different way, like Golden Seal or something at the time, I probably would have. But we did that medication, and that was $650 a month.
Wow.
So when people say it's too expensive to go organic, I say, well, you know, it's actually really expensive to have autism symptoms.
Yeah.
You know, we've saved probably hundreds of thousands of dollars over the past 3 years by him not having autism.
Yeah.
Or autism symptoms. And,
so,
you know, with therapy and you know, tutors and
right.
medication and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, and I definitely, I want to get into
cannot afford to not eat organic.
Yeah, and I want to highlight that more later in the show, but I want to review real quick so our listeners got this, because there was a lot of information right there. So two sons not eating wheat because they were gluten sensitive. One son was eating wheat, and he tested 8 times higher than any level seen in Europe. Glyphosate in your son's urine was so high, is the highest in the world at the time. And the two other sons, it was undetectable. The primary difference in their diet was wheat. So when you took the wheat out, and yeah, you ate the other good organic stuff, but the primary thing that had the glyphosate on it was the wheat, and you took it out, and then his levels went down to normal. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they went down to below detectable.
Below
so,
detectable.
I mean, it might have still been there a tiny bit, you know, but below what was detectable at the time, which was 0.5
right.
parts per billion.
Right.
You know, so it's much lower. And we also put reverse osmosis on our water filter, by the way. We
yeah.
did have glyphosate in our water, a tiny amount. But we did put that reverse osmosis filter on as well.
Okay. But what from the other two sons were eating pretty much was the same diet except for the wheat.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the wheat is being sprayed just before harvest. It's a desiccant, like Zen said, it dries the wheat out. It kind of stresses the wheat, causes it to actually produce a little more, like 10% more seed, I think I read somewhere. So it increases yield a little bit, dries it out, easier to harvest, and it prepares the ground for the next crop to be planted immediately after a harvest of wheat.
Is that still an organic wheat, though?
No, that's not
no,
organic.
No.
Okay.
Because
yeah, but it's widely done in North America, the most, especially in Canada, in wetter regions. Like in Texas, I believe they don't spray the wheat with glyphosate as a drying agent.
Correct.
But in Oregon, Washington, Canada, they do. And recently, I urge your listeners to look up Poison Foods of North America on Amazon. A activist, Tony Mitra, transcribed 7,800 test results from the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. And they're the ones that found the wheat was very high in glyphosate. I think some were like 12,000 parts per billion. And also what is very high is oatmeal. They use that they desiccate oats as a drying agent. Glyphosate is a drying agent. Also red lentils are very high around the world. And garbanzo beans, whether they're organic or not, were testing positive for glyphosate. So garbanzo beans, red lentils, buckwheat flour, some pinto beans tested positive for glyphosate, whether they were organic or not. That is very concerning. We believe that there's fraudulent organic certification going on, and it's been proven to be happening in Turkey. But we just read an article the other day that some, you know, for instance, soy coming from China or something, you know, some product coming from China, they slapped organic stickers on the ship on the way over, raising the value of that import by $4 million.
Oh, wow.
And sold it to us as organic.
Yeah, I have no doubt there's fraud going on with these organic labels, and we'll get into that more too, but we got to take a break. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about some of the science that you know of, Zen. I know you talk to a lot of these scientists. I've talked to a couple of them, but we're going to talk about some of the studies, some of the scientific data of what glyphosate actually does when you come back, and then maybe some testimonials from some other moms, but let's take a quick break.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 KRFE with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Of course, You're the Cure. Of course, also brought to you by Veritas Medical. Check us out on the website, veritasmedical.com, all one word. And again, integrative holistic medicine family practitioner. And you're listening to You're the Cure. Special guest this morning, Zen Honeycutt, Moms Across America, back with us on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Wade. Zen, thank you again for being here with Moms Across America. I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about some of the different scientific studies. I've watched or listened to you some on YouTube and other venues. You know, a Hungarian scientist who did some studies, I think, with potatoes, and he released his data, and then he was fired 2 days later. A Danish pig farmer who showed 30% infertility when they were on GMO feed and then got off of it and they got better. But can you go through some of those kind of either poultry, rat, pig, whatever, some of those studies that you know of?
Absolutely. On our website, you can see under data a whole list of studies, and there are actually thousands, but we have on our website probably about over 64 of different examples of how glyphosate and or GMOs or other pesticides are impacting the body. And what I really want to get across is that what's happening to our children is toxic burden, widespread toxic burden. This did not happen when I was a child, when you were a child. We could eat whatever food we pretty much wanted to at moderate amounts and we would be fine, you know, and that's not what is happening today. GMO chemical farming has inundated our children, and there are studies to show it, that they're inundated with toxins and foreign proteins. So there's one very important study by Carrusco, who has since passed away, but he was, I believe, from South America, very important study to show that glyphosate at 0.1 parts per billion destroyed the gut bacteria in chickens. And a chicken is the size of a newborn. So when we found glyphosate in breast milk at 166 parts per billion, we were horrified. That is just not something that any child will be able to tolerate for very long. They would develop colitis or, colic. They would be screaming a lot. The parents would be spitting up after every meal probably. So really, really dangerous to have glyphosate in breast milk, which is what we found what was happening. And also, subsequently, they did find glyphosate in breast milk in Germany as well, and very concerning. So, and again, the gut bacteria is where 70% of the immune system lies. So for us to be systematically subjecting our gut bacteria with glyphosate residues on foods, such as those that have been found, proven to be on food, it is extremely concerning and definitely, in my opinion, and many scientists' opinion now, the major contributing factor to the destruction of the immune system in the gut and the microbiome. This is it. This is what needs to change. We need to go organic. Organic needs to be protected and actually be organic, right? We have to speak up about that. And that one study was very influential in pointing us in the right direction that, hey, this is what's happening. Yeah. Some other studies show that glyphosate and its co-formulant, so Roundup, are endocrine disruptors. And this is by Sarah Leaney's team. And an endocrine disruptor means that the chemical will harm or halt the development of a fetus, that it will influence sex hormone changes. And, for instance, atrazine is another endocrine disruptor, and that showed, that's a chemical sprayed on our food as well. Mm-hmm. And that one showed that male frogs began to mate with each other. They began to grow ovaries and mate with each other when they were subjected to atrazine. And Roundup is also an endocrine disruptor. So we don't know what it's doing to our children's sex hormones. We don't know if it's changing them down the road. We don't know if that's the reason for the, you know, for a lot of miscarriages and birth defects that are happening now. And in America today, we have 50% more babies that die on the first day of life than all of the industrialized nations combined.
Yeah.
Something is going on.
Yeah.
And fetuses are being subjected to toxins, either from what the mother is eating and going through the womb. We have found atrazine and, not we, but a study has found atrazine and glyphosate in placental cord blood. It's just being found, you know, all over in urine and breast milk and all of that. So we have a very strong feeling that this is what is connected. And birth defects are on the rise. There's more, you know, hair lip type birth defects that are happening again, more of the body's parts, organs forming outside of the body, like the lung or the liver or the intestines that are forming outside of the baby's body in the womb. And a lot of these infants die very soon after birth.
Yeah.
So this is extremely important issue that we must address. We have to reduce the endocrine disrupting chemicals that are pregnant mothers infants are being exposed to.
Zen, let me jump in here for a minute, Wade Wilkes.
Sure.
It sounds to me like, though, and here's the crux and the problem, is that we spend a lot of time in the last several months focused through the CDC on the Zika virus, for example. Oh, well, you know, if you get Zika, then the baby's going to, you know, be born with this weird cone-shaped head and not develop in the womb. And so we're throwing millions of dollars already to combat Zika virus that's hit the United States. And the media is rampant all over this, but not a word about glyphosate, probably because there's a lot of big money behind that and a lot of special interest groups that apply pressure to lawmakers to say, this is safe, it's all a bunch of hot air, people are freaked out about it, but there's no conclusive evidence, on and on and on. And the reason Zika gets so much publicity on top of that is that, you know, the pharmaceutical companies say, well, look, we'll develop a vaccine for it. And if we can make a killing off the vaccine, if we get a Zika vaccine going. I mean, is there in lies the problem, right? I mean, this is what's going on.
Absolutely. We're not just talking about massive toxic burden on our children. We're talking about massive amount of betrayal and corruption in our government. And that's what's so deeply disturbing to people when they first find this out. A lot of people just don't want to know that they can't trust the CDC or the FDA or the USDA. I mean, they're not protecting us. That's what's happening here. And we know there are studies that have shown in South America that the area where there were women who had Zika virus and also happened to have anencephaly, which is babies born without brains or very small brains, right, was in an area where it just so happened about 8 or 9 months beforehand, that area was aerial sprayed with a larvicide, with a chemical, in order to get rid of certain bugs or mosquitoes or whichever, right? And that larvicide has been proven to cause anencephaly. And that's not in the media. Now, and there was another area in Brazil where there were 10,000 pregnant women with Zika virus, which the symptoms are like a cold, by the way. 10,000 women with Zika virus, and not one of them had babies born with anencephaly. So you can't tell me that this is not a trumped-up, sort of fear-mongering initiative by the pharmaceutical companies who want millions of dollars to develop a new vaccine so that they can then push it on the entire American and maybe even immigrant population, people that come in the country. I mean, check out the Somalians right now in Minnesota. They have forced them to have 10 vaccines at once, each person, when they come in this country as a refugee. And what happens is there is an apartment building now in Minnesota where not one person, not one family doesn't have a person affected with autism. Something is going on there. And that is not an illness or a disorder or whichever you want, whatever you want to call it. It's a collection of gut, damage and brain inflammation, all that. That's not something that Somalians were experiencing before. That they called that the American disease.
Yeah, exactly.
And so something is going on here to profit the pharmaceutical companies, and we all need to really keep our heads up and get real information.
Well, in my opinion, we took a real turn in the wrong direction when we decided to go after bugs. When all of a sudden bugs became the enemy, and when I say bugs, whether it's microbes like Zika and these different viruses like measles and chickenpox, or the bugs in the field. We're going to spray and kill all these pests, these insects that are going to ravage our crops. When we decided that bugs are the enemy, and we're going to go after them with chemicals of some sort, that's a big problem. The bugs aren't the enemy. It's all about the terrain. We should be nourishing our terrain. A nourished, healthy soil, we've talked about before, produces plants that are healthy and naturally repel the insects. A nourished and healthy gut and immune system naturally repels. I mean, when polio started to go down in the numbers, it went down, 98% reduction in polio before the vaccine. And so what happened? The terrain, the environment, we got clean water, we got the sanitation came up. So it's all about the terrain, your internal terrain, you as a human being, your gut and your immune system, which are so interrelated as we're talking about. But that's what everyone needs to focus on, from farmers in the field to you as people and your internal terrain. So in my opinion, the enemy's not the bugs, it's the chemicals that are and the other things that are harming our immune system.
Text coming in, of course, when I try, the caller or the listener wants to know, I guess the Zen question being, when I try to talk to an employee of Monsanto about my concerns about GMOs, I get to hear, that's how we feed the world. How do you deal with that, Zen? Or what was your response to that?
My response to that is, they're feeding their profits of the shareholders. Mm-hmm. They're making the world sick, is what they're doing. And we have proof of that. If you just watch a video from Alice of Uganda, it's on YouTube, on our channel on YouTube. It's also on our Facebook page, Mothers Across the world and moms across America posted last week. Alice from Uganda shares how her family was affected in Uganda when they started these test trial crops of GMOs that had to have Roundup sprayed in order for the crops to grow, is what they were told. And her father died of diabetes. Her mom and her sister also have diabetes. I think they're still with us. She had 9 miscarriages before she was able to conceive properly after avoiding all of the different types of GMO foods. And her village is now actually on the brink of starvation, because after a few years of using GMOs, where the yield does improve the first year or two, the soil then begins to be destroyed, just as Dr. Edwards just mentioned. Once the soil is destroyed, the microbes are killed off by these toxic chemicals. The soil is not as rich, it's not as nourishing, and certain crops can no longer grow in it. So they can no longer grow cowpeas and legumes and different types of veggies like they could before. So they have a huge loss of diversity in their crops, and now they're only growing GMO corn that they export. So they actually have a village which is starving. They're not feeding the world. They are poisoning the world. They are making people sick, and they have to stop it. This is not a viable business option, and it's not sustainable for the planet.
Well, and I want to go back to a couple key points on, you know, the Roundup was approved, or glyphosate was approved for human consumption, because the shikimate pathway, we've talked about this with Dr. Huber, with Dr. Seneff, the shikimate pathway is not part of the human physiology, which is true. But it is a key part of the bacterial physiology. There's a chemical step in the bacteria that uses shikimate pathway, and so all the gut bacteria, all those bugs that remember we're outnumbered 10-1 bacteria to human cells, so all those gut bacteria have the shikimate pathway, and the Roundup destroys that. So technically it's not part of human physiology, but we're so intertwined with our gut bugs, it has a dramatic effect on us. Number two is some of the studies, quote-unquote safety studies, that were presented to the FDA so that this was approved for human consumption, weren't carried out for a very long period of time. You know, it would be just a matter of a few days or a few weeks. They would do studies, feeding studies on pigs or rats or whatever. But then when studies were done independently outside of industry, and the studies were carried out for a little longer, say 3 months or 6 months or 12 months, then that's when you would start to see stomach cancer and ovarian tumors and death and all these different things. There was a study, I think, Zen, you mentioned on one of your talks, a Danish pig farmer. 3,000 pigs he feeds. When he feeds non-GMO, he has about a 3% infertility rate. Then he puts them on GMO feeds, and he gets a 30% infertility rate. Then he takes them off the GMO and puts them back on regular feed, back down to 3% infertility rate. Then he puts them back on GMO and back up to 30%. So these long-term studies, when you look at them, the Seralini studies are a perfect example. The original studies FDA looked at, they weren't long enough. And they weren't thorough enough, and now the research is out there, and it's clear, it's very clear that damage is being done. So I know you mentioned in one of your talks about actually trying to recall glyphosate, just like any toy, any kid's toy that's showing harm or injury, or a vehicle that's not performing like it was advertised to perform and it's injuring people, it gets recalled. So talk to us a little bit about that, and is that moving forward in any way?
Well, we found glyphosate in breast milk. You know, this is back in 2013. We started the testing, released the results in 2014. And the levels were such that would definitely be destroying a child's gut bacteria, right? 166 parts per billion. And this was initial screening. We didn't have the capacity or a lab that would step up to do the high-level screening, which is accepted by the EPA or the FDA, right? It just didn't exist. We, of course, asked them to do it, and still have not heard back from them about doing that. But when we found those levels of glyphosate in breast milk, we were outraged. We told the EPA. They didn't respond for a month, so then we started a call campaign. It actually was right around Mother's Day, the week before Mother's Day or the week after. We did a 5-day call to EPA campaign, and within 3 days, one of the EPA staff members said, you've got to get these women to stop calling. 10,000 women have called in the past 3 days. And so by Friday, I called and spoke to the chief branch manager of the Pesticide Review Board. His name is Neil Anderson. And he said, you've got to stop calling. We've got to do our jobs. And I said, well, your job is to recall Roundup. you know, when a product doesn't do what the manufacturer says it's going to do, and in this case, Roundup, the manufacturer Monsanto, said that glyphosate would not collect in the breast milk or, you know, in muscle tissues or bone marrow, whatever. It would pass harmlessly through the urine. I've seen it with my eyes in a scientific study that I did a Freedom of Information Act on. It's right there. And they said that's what would happen, and that was obviously not happening. It was collecting in the breast milk. And so I said, so you've got to recall it. It's not doing what the manufacturer said it would do. And they said, well, we just don't work that way. And I said, what do you mean? So if a chemical manufacturer claims that a chemical is not going to kill birds, for instance, and then all of a sudden you suspect it's killing birds, don't you recall it? And he said, no, usually the benefit outweighs the cost to society. The benefits, you know, to society, right, outweighs the cost. And I said, so what does that mean? He said, we would assess the damage. I said, you mean like go out and count dead birds? And he said, yes. And I said, oh, so that means there's a collateral level. There's a certain number of dead birds that would be acceptable, right? So the question is, what number of children that have to die or be sick is acceptable to the EPA? What's the collateral damage level that's acceptable, you know, in the United States? Of course, he wouldn't answer that question. He just said he had a difference of opinion. But, you know, the problem is that there's going to have to be a certain number of children, which we prove, and unfortunately in the system, the onus is on us, that have been harmed by glyphosate. And that's why now there's lawsuits cropping up all across the country. Once a very important study came out about a 50% increase of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma when exposed to Roundup. Once that study came out, now there's been hundreds of people that have filed lawsuits against Monsanto. I believe it's 500, expected to be 5,000 by the end of the year. There's two different lawsuits. One is headed up by Robert F. Kennedy. Another one is headed up by, I don't remember that lawyer's name. His name is Tim something, and you can look him up on the Monsanto Tribunal at the Hague videos on YouTube. His name is Tim, and I forget his last name. He's a lawyer that's heading up 500 lawsuits. So there's been harm documented now, and the chips are starting to fall, you know, for Monsanto.
Yeah. Well, I just think the evidence is overwhelming. Not only testimonials, which doctors, of course, aren't supposed to listen to because that's anecdotal, quote unquote. But like I said at the beginning of the show, when you got this huge escalation of disease, chronic disease in children, 50% of the children, most of which are related to the immune system, all these autoimmune diseases, asthma, eczema, all this stuff. I would encourage the listeners to look up Nancy Swanson in her graphs that show 22 different diseases, and she overlays the use of Roundup. So it's going back into the early 1990s to current, and there'll be a line that shows the tons of Roundup sprayed in America. And then it correlates, it shows a graph of all these diseases, and the disease rates go right up along the exact same curve as the Roundup rate. So that's correlation. Correlation doesn't mean causation, but when you've got 22 different diseases correlated to the glyphosate, and then you go dig down into the literature to see, well, what does glyphosate do, which we've talked about the gut bacteria, and we haven't even gotten into how it chelates minerals. It's an antibiotic. It kills the bugs. I mean, that poultry study we didn't mention, they did a study on poultry, the chickens. Salmonella wasn't killed, but all the good bacteria were killed. So it's preferentially kills the good guys.
E. coli, too, which is responsible for urinary tract infections, which are on the rise.
Yeah. So you start stacking all this up, all these different poultry, pig, and rat studies. You look at the correlation with Nancy Swanson's graphs, and then you just look at the biochemistry of what does glyphosate do. And I encourage the listeners to go back in the archives on our website and listen to Don Huber's interview. It was awesome that he talks about all the what exactly glyphosate's doing to the physiology. But you put all this together, I think at the minimum, we have to push the pause button, say, okay.
Oh, well, yeah, and there's a new study that proves that Roundup causes liver disease. Causes it.
Yeah.
Liver disease.
I don't understand why we're not.
Without a properly functioning liver, you can't detox. You're going to get heart issues. You're going to have autism symptoms. There's all kinds of studies, and it's an endocrine disruptor. It's a neurotoxin.
Yeah.
But I do want to impress upon the listeners that there is hope. If you eat organic, and it's truly organic, by the way, that means avoiding, for instance, garbanzo beans and red lentils and buckwheat flour from North America. If you can get them from other countries, you'll be fine. But if you eat organic, within 1 week, 90% of the pesticides can be removed from the body, and within 2 weeks, 100%.
Yeah.
So there is hope.
That's awesome.
And by putting in fermented foods, by the way, there are some bacteria in fermented foods that actually go after and, like, eat or break down pesticides.
Yeah.
Well, fermented foods are very important to incorporate in your diet.
I'm glad you brought that in, because we're about to have to end the show, and I do want to end with some solutions and some hope. And
and
you just said it, eat organic, eat clean, and locally grown would be best. Get to know your local farmer.
Yes.
You know he doesn't spray. You don't have to worry about the organic label. Just go get or grow it yourself. That's what Veritas Gardens is here to do, is to help you learn how to grow it yourself. So just eat real food. That's all we're saying. Go. Everything used to be organic. You know, 100 years ago, all our great-grandparents were eating organic, and it didn't have to be labeled. So simply eat organic. Zen just told you that you'll clear the pesticide out in a matter of days to weeks. That's awesome. So all you women out there who can't get pregnant, 30% of you that can't get pregnant, quit eating the chemical. If you are already pregnant, you're worried about your breast milk, quit eating the chemical now. You'll get rid of that pesticide quickly. Eat the fermented foods like Zen's talking about. There's plenty of hope, and it turns out it's relatively simple. It can be relatively cheap. We're not going to have time to get into that, but all these resources are on the Moms Across America website. You can go on there and learn how you can eat organic for, I heard you, one of your talks, I think for $2.50 a meal. So there's ways, there's solutions, you can do it. It's not this doom and gloom. It's back to the basics. Grow your food or find someone who will, or just buy the organic at the store.
Absolutely. There's a lot of hope. Go on to momsacrossamerica.org, look at our videos or blogs, our information that we have, and get involved too. Put your name up there to be a leader for an event, and that way people in your area can find you and you can start to collect and gather and support each other, because it is a challenge at the beginning, but you can do it.
Yeah. Well, we're on a poor trajectory right now with 50% of our kids sick. We've got the worst infant mortality in the world. Dr. Stephanie Seneff said a couple of weeks ago, by 2032, half the kids will be autistic, 80% of the boys will be. So the trajectory of all this is really bad. But with people like you, Zen, who are out there leading the charge, and all these moms out there who are buying the food for their families, we can totally turn this around. And that's a beautiful thing. The human body is designed to function right, and it will, and it can clean itself out. It can detox itself if you give it what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. So thank you, Zen, for all you do, for leading the charge with all the moms out there. Keep up the good work, and we will encourage all our listeners and all my patients to get on your website and peruse it and get involved.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm very grateful, Dr. Edwards, and thank you, Will and Melody, as well.
You bet, Zen. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and we look forward to having you back right here on You're the Cure.
Thank you.
You bet. Bye. All right, Dr. Edwards, we appreciate it. Have a wonderful week yourself, and we'll see you back here next week on the show, bright and early, 9 o'clock, every Monday morning with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Melody Wilkes, health coach, thank you as well. It's a good show.
See you later.
Stick around now. Unconfused coming up next right here on AM 580.